Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Integrated Home, the podcast that's produced by the home integration community for the home integration community. My name is Jeff Hayward, and today we're looking at human-centric lighting in the company of Cedia's technical consultant, David Meyer. Welcome to the show, David.
Thanks for having me on the cast.
Now, we are recording this show inside a podcast studio that is actually a converted VWID bus. How about that? And it's a first for me. Is it a first for you too, David?
It certainly is. Very cool.
Yeah. So please introduce yourself and what your role is at Cedia.
I am, as mentioned, a technical consultant for Cedia. I'm based in Australia. I've worked for Cedia for about 9 years now. And I work in technology standards, education, authoring a lot of the white papers, helping with educational content, and doing a lot of work on recommended practices and standards as well. Both contributing as well as helping with the layout and make sure that everything makes sense and presents.
Well, it's great because we don't often talk because you live in Australia.
Yeah.
I'm in the UK, so Denver's kind of halfway.
Yeah, I guess it is. Yeah, it's a long way for us Aussies if we want to go anywhere. Always long flights.
It certainly is. So you mentioned white papers, and that's what we're here to talk about. So Cedia's got a new white paper that's just been published called Human-Centric Lighting Part 1, Why We Need It. What I'd like to know is, why does the industry need it?
Yeah, good question, huh? Bit of a provocative title there. Well, where this project started was, I've been going through reviewing a lot of the existing content with Cedia, and there's some great content there, but some of it was getting a little outdated. There were two white papers dating back as far as 2016 that were actually still relevant to this day, but I thought, oh, let's give them a refresh. And I'd become aware, a lot more aware over the last few years about this human-centric lighting, and decided to take the previous papers, merge them, and add some additional content. And then that just took me down this rabbit hole of research and extraordinary stuff. So the reason it's called Why We Need It is because this Part 1, there will be three in the series.
Okay.
So this particular one focuses on how light affects the human body, what it is that we need from light, not just for function or for practicality. It's really handy at night to stop us bumping into things, but there is actually a lot more to it even than I realized. So when I embarked on this project, I thought that we were actually just combining some paper and adding some additional stuff to bring it up to date. But yeah, it turns out that there is a huge amount of research out there.
And human-centric lighting, I mean, I've been aware of it in the industry probably since around 2016. You know, it's not new, but that doesn't mean that it's widely accepted or understood, or even that a lot of integrators are really aware of it. Would you agree with that?
Completely. So the paper from 2016, which was a brilliant paper written by Peter Aylett and John Neibel, was called...
John Neibel, my gosh. There's a blast from the past.
Neibel, right. Is it? Sorry, I mispronounced. So very, very good paper, but it was bioadaptive, human-centric or human-centered, I think they refer to it as, same thing. The focus of that, though, was all about circadian rhythm.
Yep.
It was about blue light.
Yep.
And the effect that that has on our sleep-wake cycles and overall health and well-being. But what's progressed since then is that human-centric lighting is found to be a whole lot more than that. So circadian lighting is just one subset. There's a whole bunch of other stuff. It's an interesting journey.
So it's a really deep dive into the science of light and that relationship with the human body.
Yes. Yeah, so there's plenty of medical terms in there. I have no medical qualification. There is a medical disclaimer at the start of the paper. But it uses terms like photobiology and human physiology. And in short, blue light enters our eyes. The light doesn't even have to look blue, just contain blue. And it actually lights up all kinds of centers in our brain. And the circadian system is one of them. But there's a whole bunch of other things going on as well.
There's a whole bunch of other stuff. Because again, I think if we're talking about our subject, human-centric lighting, most people think, well, that really starts and ends with circadian rhythm. And if you know something about that, you'll know kind of like, okay, you know, I understand that we've got to mirror the outside and the daylight as it goes from cold to warm and everything else and how that affects the human body and blah, blah, blah. We were all Stone Age once and that's how we lived and how we work as human beings. So I kind of understand the rudimentary kind of knowledge of that, but I'm also very interested in what the other things are. So have you got a little tease without giving us all the white paper now, what we could expect to learn?
Yeah, absolutely. So what I found really interesting is, as I mentioned before, the light doesn't even have to look blue, just contain blue. See, sunlight has a huge amount of blue in it. It's actually the wavelength right in the middle of blue light, around 480 nanometers, is right at the peak of natural sunlight. And so we need that during the day. There's been a bit of bad press over the years about blue lights. You go to an optometrist and they'll tell you you should have filter on reading glasses, or if you're looking at computer screens, because blue light's bad for us. But we need blue light to function as well. But then blue light's a bad thing at night for circadian. But those other things that you ask about, there's all sorts of other hormonal responses that are occurring in the body that can affect all kinds of things, from reproductive health, metabolic system. There's a whole lot. There's also other aspects of human-centric lighting even go into light absorbed through the skin. So we're talking infrared and ultraviolet light.
This episode of the Integrated Home Podcast is powered by Integrated Systems Europe, the world-renowned annual tech show for the systems integration and audiovisual industry. From the 3rd to the 6th of February 2026, ISE returns to Barcelona, uniting the brightest minds and boldest ideas in smart home and building technology. Last year, 11,599 professionals affiliated with the residential sector visited the show for a taste of state-of-the-art industry tech. As co-owner of ISE, CED ensures the show remains the leading voice in residential solutions and home automation. Step into the residential and smart building technology zone at ISE, where visionary concepts meet real-world integration. And don't miss CED's world-class education programme, designed to give you the insights, skills and techniques that are shaping the future of integrated living. Don't just keep up with the industry, get ahead of it. Join us for ISE 2026 in Barcelona.
How do you think this kind of knowledge can help integrators in their businesses? Because that's really what it's all about. We want to enable integrators to be experts and be informed on this subject. So what does a white paper like this offer them?
Okay, so part one is about just understanding this physiology of light and how light affects us, to get guidance on how to then look for the right type of products. Look for lights that are the right quality of light, the right color spectrum of lights to optimize in the space, but also going into control. How to control light in the space, both natural and artificial. So motorized shades, be them manually controlled through activation with a button or a keypad, or alternatively have them automated to reduce glare, because even things like flicker and glare actually go to human centricity as well, because it's partly comfort, partly it's, especially with flicker, it's not just a comfort thing, but there is actually a genuine health thing there too, and not just somebody with photosensitivities. So what integrators would aim to learn from these papers is, how can I optimize the light throughout the day and night to best support human health and well-being?
Right, so it's a real aid to being that expert that the client will look to for advice and guidance, and also help with the right product selection.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, and how to integrate them, how to use natural light to best advantage, potentially augmented by artificial light. The figures that I was coming across during the research for the paper revealed that we as a society on average spend somewhere between 85 and 90% of our time indoors, which I found quite startling.
That's terrifying, actually.
Yeah, so I've since found out that figure has actually been revised upwards. And in the United States, that figure is more like 93%, and in the UK, about 92%. So it's frightening figures.
And that's not good for human health.
No, it's not. Especially if the quality of that light is poor, the spectrum is compromised. One fun fact that I found was that old school lighting, incandescent, the light bulbs that I certainly remember from my childhood and early adulthood was the good old, like a 60 watt or yeah, even up to 100 watt light bulb, they were, funnily enough, really healthy for us, because somewhere in the order of 70 to 80% of their light output was infrared. We couldn't see it, but it turned out it was really good for us. LED comes along, and now because of the energy requirements to get lots of lumens per watt, the way they do that is to say, well, if you can't see it, what's the point of emitting it? So they just completely block out all of the UV and infrared light that is good for us, and they narrow the spectrum right down, and then we just end up with these steep peaks and troughs in the spectrum instead of this nice smooth curve. So the light can sometimes look, I won't say artificial because it is artificial, but it can look kind of funky and not render colors accurately either. So there's this fine balance between having a high quality of light that makes the space look naturally rendered versus what's actually good for us too.
It is a fascinating subject.
It is. I can just keep on going. Just tell me when to stop.
I'm sure you could. Well, look, talking of when to stop, I mean, this is part one, why we need it. Can you reveal the titles of part two and part three?
Absolutely. So I'd been going back and forth on just how many volumes it were going to be. It just turned into too big a beast to have in one volume. But ended up settling on three. So part two will focus on artificial light. So where part one looks at natural light spectrum and how it affects the body, part two then looks at artificial light and how that then compares to natural and what's happening with the different types of lighting technologies and what's an ideal spectrum. And it will go into things like flicker and glare as well. And part three will then look at just some of the basics of design. So designing human-centric lighting systems. Won't be a how-to guide. It'll be an overview of the types of things that a lighting designer would need to focus on.
I would imagine that here in Denver, that's been part of the education curriculum that you've been talking about?
It has, yeah.
Okay, and so for European integrators listening to the show, very likely I would imagine that something will be part of the IC curriculum as well.
We're already having those discussions and it is expected that there will be something there, yeah.
Great. Okay. In the meantime, if people want to find out more, where do they go to get it?
The part one paper is available now on cedia.org. They'd need to click on education once they get there. And under the education menu, there is a link to white papers. And then just there's another button for home automation white papers. And then just scroll through the list until they find it.
Fantastic. Well, look, thank you so much, David, for sharing those insights today. It's been great to hear about it. Great to see you again, of course. And you can find out more about the Integrated Home on our social channels at Integrated Home Podcast. We're brought to you with the support of Integrated Systems Europe, and we support Together for Cinema, and we are a Wildwood Plus production. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff.
The Integrated Home supports Together for Cinema. Together for Cinema is a community interest company that collaborates with the AV industry to design and install cinema rooms in children's hospices and other deserving locations across the UK. So far, thanks to the huge generosity of manufacturers, distributors and integrators freely giving of their time, products and expertise, we've created 46 dedicated cinemas, equivalent to an installation value of about £1.2 million. In these special places, families, staff and volunteers are now enjoying fantastic movie experiences together and helping to create very, very special memories. Help our industry continue to make a difference. Visit togetherforcinema.co.uk and find out how you can be involved to make short lives just that little bit better.